Hare Krishna. I am very grateful and happy to be back with this opportunity to serve you. We just witnessed a drama, yes? I didn't, because I wasn't here. What was the subject?
Repentance.
Who was Gopal Chapala? Who played Gopal Chapala? From a medicinal perspective, he's completely cured of leprosy. This is the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This is one of the more prominent pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is told in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and also referred to in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because of the crucial message that it carries. Psychology is one of the sciences of medicine, but it is also a very important study in order to actually imbibe Vaishnav character. What was the psychology of Gopal Chapala and that of Srivas Thakur? Their values were completely opposite, although essentially they were both trying to achieve the same thing. Everyone is trying to achieve real fulfillment, anandamayo byashat. But according to what we are influenced by, we seek our fulfillment in various ways. Srivas Thakur was seeking fulfillment under the influence of his eternal soul. In other words, his actions, his words, were the manifestations of the quality of his eternal soul. Jivera Swarupoi Krishna de Nityadas. The nature of the Atma is to find fulfillment in giving Krishna fulfillment. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. Srila Prabhupada tells, when you put food in the stomach, the nutrients and energy of that food goes to every limb and organ of the body. So he was motivated by unconditional love. Gopal Chapala was being influenced by the ahankar, by the false ego. And he was seeking fulfillment in his own prestige, in his own power, in his own sensory pleasures. And what's interesting is the disease, or the symptom of the disease of Gopal Chapala, manifested as envy. Why envy? Generally, we envy someone who has something in common with us. Gopal Chapala was a Brahmin. a scholar. He was a sort of spiritual leader in Navadvip. Srivas Thakur, very simple, humble person, but he was gaining a tremendous amount of respect and honor from others. Gopal Chapala, he had a particular interpretation of Brahminical culture and the conclusions of the Vedas. And that was, if you want to make true spiritual progress, you have to study, you have to be scholarly, you have to discriminate between matter and spirit, and you have to submit yourself to the Brahmins. And if you submit yourself to Brahman, if they bless you, you can take your next birth as a Brahman and make progress. It just so happened Gopal Chapala was a Brahman. And here was Srivas. He and the others, they were speaking that the conclusion of all the knowledge of all the Vedas is to surrender to Vasudev. Bahunan janmanamante jnanavamam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma saturlava. After many births and deaths and births and deaths and births and deaths, when you finally come to the actual culmination of true knowledge, you surrender to Vasudev. Knowing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes and all that is. Sarva dharman parityasya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi samimasucha. To abandon all varieties of dharma, occupation, religion, and just surrender to me, Krishna says. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Have no fear. Srivas was seeing every living being as the eternal servant of Krishna and wanted to inspire everyone to attain the perfection of all knowledge, loving devotional service. And he had complete faith in the Vedic conclusion. Harinama, Harinama, Harinameva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. That by simply chanting the name of Hari, one can attain the ultimate perfection of life. One of Srivas's very, very best friends was Haridas Thakur, who was, from a caste perspective, an untouchable. For the caste smarta Brahmins like Gopal Chapala, Haridas Thakur was untouchable, unseeable. If his shadow touched your house, you had to wash your whole house with cow dung before you could even go in it again. That was how strict he was. And here Srivas was inviting Haridas in, having kirtan with him, embracing him. And he was teaching common people who had no real qualifications as far as he was concerned that you can attain perfection of life just by dancing and singing? Gopal Chapala genuinely in his heart felt that Srivas Thakur was ruining the very society. But worst of all, and the reason he was so convinced of it, was not on the basis of a philosophy. It was on the basis of his envy. Because Srivas was gaining so much You see, we see the world through our particular state of consciousness. If that envy of the ego is allowed to flourish within our consciousness, then we rationalize and see, perceive, and interpret everything in the cloud of that envy. And we can genuinely be convinced of it. He was seeing Srivas as a genuine enemy of Vedic culture. And he could take so many instances to prove it, and even take so many verses of the scriptures to justify it, because he was seeing through his envy. So his decision was, I must destroy him. So you showed what he did in the drama?
Yes.
Okay. He took all kinds of abominable things and put it in front of Srivas's house at night while the kirtan was going on. And Srivas, he didn't know what was happening. The idea was, in the next morning, when people see this in front of the house, Gopal Chapala, his plan was, then they would think that he was performing these very low-class types of rituals for those who are really superstitious people in the mode of ignorance, and his name would be completely defamed. But Srivas had no envy and had no pride. He only wanted to please Krishna. And therefore, he had no fear. Vajahuremana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. When we take shelter of Krishna, there's nothing to fear, because we put ourselves in Krishna's hands. So he came out and saw all this, and he actually called the people of Navadvip and said, actually, you may not have known, but this is what I do every night. He actually admitted to something he never did. But nobody believed him. They thought, oh, he's just so humble, somebody did this, and now he's admitting it. So the people, they cleaned everything and purified it. But Gopal Chapala, because of this aparad, he got leprosy. In those days, leprosy, because contagious, you weren't allowed to live among the people of society. You were banished. So not only was he totally suffering physically, his fingers fell off, his nose fell off, his toes fell off. He was becoming emaciated, deformed. But his family and the rest of society kicked him out. He had nowhere to go. He was just living somewhere in a distant place on the bank of the Ganges, all alone. Nobody would even talk to him. Miserable state. So he became somewhat repentant, but not enough. Lord Chaitanya went by one day and he said, oh, please save me, please save me. And Lord Chaitanya said, because of what you have done to Srivas, you will remain like this for a million births. And he walked away. He said that out of compassion. He said that out of love for Srivas's soul, for Gopal Chapala's soul. Because he knew that he had to deeply understand the offense. What we learn from this is anybody could say, I'm sorry, because they want to avoid some reaction. But that's not what liberates us from the offense. The only thing that will truly liberate from our offense is from the core of our hearts when we really want to change. Very important message. He was suffering, he was crying, he was begging, but Lord Chaitanya understood. He just wants to get out of what he's done, but he doesn't really understand from his heart. He's still envious. But he did change in due course of time. So the greatest blessing for Gopal Chapala was leprosy. As far as Srivas was concerned, he always liked Gopal Chapala. He was praying. When Gopal Chapala got leprosy, he was praying for Gopal Chapala's liberation. He had no feeling in the slightest of anger, animosity, revenge. He was a well-wisher. Because he had taken shelter of Krishna. These are the qualities of one who takes shelter of Krishna. It's not just about wearing a sari or tilak or shaving your head or putting some beads on. This is what a Vaishnava is. Srila Prabhupada explains, the prominent quality of a Vaishnava is that they have no envy because they take shelter of Krishna. The deepest disease of the heart is envy. If we love Krishna, we cannot be envious of anything. If we're envious of Krishna, we're potentially envious of everybody and anyone if the circumstances are favorable. So that leprosy caused him to really reflect and deeply understand how good Srivas really was and how wrong he was. And he was like that for years. This is something that is very, very important for a devotee to understand. Because sometimes we think, why is God letting something happen? But from the perspective of truth, Nashato vidyate bhavo napavo vidyate shata. Krishna says, that which has no cessation is real. And that which has no endurance is unreal. This body, it's going to grow old, get diseased, and die. It's just a matter of a little bit of time. But the soul is eternal. No birth, no death. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. Krishna sees us for who we are, as eternal souls. One or two lifetimes is insignificant. There's an example that one acharya gives, that this particular physical life of ours is like taking a pencil and making one point with a very sharp pencil. What is the length and width of one little point of a sharp-pointed pencil? And that one point is on a line that goes forever. Our existence may be birth after birth after birth after birth after birth. There's 8,400,000 species of life. Some people may be going through them 8,400,000 times or more. So many births and so many deaths. And when we come out of this material realm, the point of our lifetime as the eternal soul keeps going on forever. So in a line that has no beginning and no end, what really is the significance of that one little dot that is the lifetime we have now? When we're in the dot and we don't see anything around us, we think this is all in all and this is so important. And why is this happening to me? From Krishna's perspective, whatever pain, whatever anxiety, whatever failure, even if your business isn't doing so well, we become so depressed, we become so suicidal because of all of these situations, and why is God doing this to me? From Krishna's point of view, it's just one little, you're that line. And this physical lifetime is just that. That dot can't even be measured. It's maybe 100 of them equal 1 centimeter. So Krishna sees from that perspective. What ultimately is going to sober us up from this envious nature? What is going to help us to actually be happy in our constitutional position? Which means to realize that I'm helpless without Krishna. My only true purpose is to serve with love. A little child, if a parent takes something away, the child may think it's the end of the world. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And the parents are thinking, what have I done? You know. Why are you? And parents, okay. Ambija Pratapita. Krishna's our supreme parent, mother and father. So it's not that he's necessarily directly punishing. Material nature is according to the karmic laws of action and reaction, things are happening on an individual, on a collective basis. Krishna lets it happen. Today morning we spoke at the Association of Medical Consultants. And many consultants were there, medical consultants. For a doctor, sometimes a diet, sometimes a medicine causes pain. But the doctor's happy if the patient does it. Just like I have so many people I know have had cancer and went through chemotherapy, and they really suffer during chemotherapy. So naturally, we are suffering with them, but at the same time, we're happy they're doing it because we want them to get better, and so many people do get better. So Krishna, he sees in the long. He sees the eternity of the soul and what will ultimately give us the best chance of coming back. So for Gopal Chapala, when he was sitting on the bank of the river with leprosy, he was nothing but suffering. I am this body. I am suffering. And why is this happening to me? Until the point came where he realized that I have nothing but the shelter of the Lord left. And then he developed total faith in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his way in his first visit to Vrindavan, at least his first attempted visit, he personally came to Navadvip, to a place called Kulia. And there Gopal Chapala, Gopal Chakravarti, and so many others who had previously made serious, grave offenses to the Lord and the devotees, they came to see him. Devananda Pandit. Gopal Chapala, from a distance, he wanted to approach the Lord, and the Lord saw him and called him forward. He said, "You have offended Srivas Thakur. Go to get his forgiveness." Srivas had already forgiven him. But the honesty and sincerity of his approaching him is what was going to heal him of his disease. And Srivas just blessed him with so much love and affection. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not only healed his body of leprosy, but healed his heart of the disease of envy. And when the heart becomes healthy, prema pumarta mahan, ecstatic love of God is our nature. That's our healthy condition. If we're not weeping in ecstasy when we see the forms of Radha Gopinath, if our hairs are not standing on end and our limbs are not trembling when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, that means we're not healthy. Good health is Satchidananda, to love Krishna, to realize the bliss, the ecstasy of loving Krishna. So he became truly healthy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes to this world because he sees the potential in every living being. He comes to awaken that potential. And a devotee or a true Vaishnava is one who shares the vision of the Lord. We were speaking last night at Shivaji Park. How many of you were at Shivaji Park last night? Well, all of you together was like one dot on a long line of people, especially the Prasadam line. Is there any estimation how many people were there last night? Braja Bihari, you are expert at statistics. According to Braj Bihari Prabhu's calculation, coming through Radhikapati Prabhu, there was 175,000 people there. That means coming, going, some staying. Anyways, we are discussing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Namo Mahabhadanyaya, Krishna Prem Pradayate. He's most magnanimous because he's seeing the potential in everyone. And he's giving everyone a chance. Still, we have to respond. So when he was in South India, He came through this area of Maharashtra. According to one biographer of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of you will be happy to hear this. Lord Chaitanya came to Pune. And it said that it reminded him of Navadvip because there were so many educational institutions. Does that make you happy? Well, after that, he came to a place, a temple called Khandva. And there, it was a very sad situation. The priests of the temple were extremely manipulative and exploitative. And there were young girls who were not married. For whatever reason, they were not married. So they seduced these girls to marry their deity. And once they married their deities, they were told, now you are heavenly goddesses, and you could do anything you want. You are above the laws and all the rules of this material world. And the deity wants you to rob, to steal, to kill, to become prostitutes. And they didn't know what else to do. They were kind of like slaves. And first, when they started doing all these nefarious, horrible things, they felt so guilty in their hearts. But they were being given a whole philosophy to rationalize that this is the will of God speaking to you. You are his wives. You must do it. So they did it, and they did it. And what was once a state where they were very guilty about it, because they kept doing it again and again, they had no remorse. They had no guilt. That's the way human nature is, on a physical level, on an emotional level. Just like you've seen these karate people where they can... When I was a little boy, I thought, these people are really strange. I would see them. There would be a big log of wood, and with their hand, they would go, and the wood would go. Have you seen that? How did they not break their hand? It doesn't even hurt. They don't even go like this. They just... Because they begin going like this. In fact, so many of my friends, they would see this and they would be going like this. In school, they'd be going like this, trying to make their hand hard. Because little pain, little pain, little pain, little pain, little pain, until there's actually no more feeling. No more feeling. It's called a callus or something like that. So the mind is like that too, and the heart is like that. When we do something with guilt, birth after birth, what to speak of just this life, if you just keep doing it, there's no more guilt anymore. In many cases, guilt is the voice of the Paramatma, the Lord in our heart, telling us this is not right. But when we keep ignoring that voice, we can't hear it at all anymore. And we see, sometimes criminals, they have no remorse. So these ladies were like that. They became like monsters. It was as if they had no conscience and no soul. They would do anything and everything they were told to do, wicked things. And they thought they were happy because they were living a very high life. But deep down inside, they suffered so bad. And Lord Chaitanya, He came to that temple. At that time, he was only about 26 years old. He was very beautiful. And they were hardcore murderous prostitutes. And they were looking at him because he was the most beautiful personality in the whole existence. And he looked at them and incessantly wept in pity for them. Nobody else did that. They were abominable. He didn't want to enjoy them. He didn't want to manipulate them like everybody else. He wasn't afraid of them. He cried because he saw their eternal souls and he saw the terrible disease they were suffering. He cried so bitterly in pity of them. They were beside themselves. His compassion melted their egos to such an extent that they realized what they have been doing. They felt total shame. Like a tsunami wave of shame came upon them. And they saw that he really cared. And all together, they fell and did their dandavats at his feet. And they started crying and begged, please save us. Please save us. And then they were ready. They were ready for his instruction. He said, you should do what pleases Krishna. You should live with the highest character, the highest integrity. You should chant the names of Krishna. You should live with pure compassion for all beings. And on the basis of Lord Chaitanya's compassion and the tears of his affection for their souls and the instructions he gave, they left that temple. They had the courage to leave. And they all became like sannyasinis. Or whatever, they didn't take sannyas or anything, but they just had no material desires. They actually started a Sankirtan party. And the whole area, they became instruments of Lord Chaitanya's compassion, and they had thousands, thousands, hundreds and thousands of people become pure devotees, raising their arms and loudly calling out Krishna's name. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to New York and San Francisco and Montreal and London, and then he started traveling around the world and came to Mumbai, he would very, like a doctor, he very strongly pointed out what are the diseases. And sometimes he pointed out who was spreading these diseases. But he was doing it with compassion. In that spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not to condemn, but to cure, to purify. And because he had that consciousness, and he saw so much hope, he saw such a spark of spiritual potential in all of us, he empowered us to overcome all of our unwanted desires and habits and become pure devotees of the Lord. It was him seeing that goodness, even though it may have been obscured by so much lust and envy and anger and pride, arrogance and greed, and so many illusions. He saw it there. And he helped us to believe it was there and gave us the medicine to restore it. That is Vaishnava. That is bhakti. Gopal Chapala was embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The leprosy of his physical disease and the leprosy of egoistic disease was cured. And he became a great saint. I believe he was initiated with the name Devakinandan Das. And he wrote beautiful songs and poems. And in his most beautiful poem, he's glorifying the Lord's devotees. Every devotee from every country, whatever the sex, whatever the color, whatever the nationality, whatever the occupation, whatever the caste, he's worshiping and putting his head with all humility in the feet of every devotee. This was the symptom of a healthy heart. Transformation. This is the power of the holy name of Krishna. This is the power of the association of Vaishnavas. This is the power of bhakti. The tendency, you see, because Srivas Thakur was so kind to him, and because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet giving such extraordinary mercy, that's why he got leprosy immediately. Sometimes we see people offending, really offensive, and we think, why isn't that person not getting leprosy? Not even cholera? It's not getting malaria? Doesn't even seem to be getting a common cold? What about all this philosophy about leprosy and cholera and all these, what we read about in the scripture, the Sudarshan Chakra, why isn't it chasing him to different planets? If nothing happens, when we make aparads and nothing happens, that means we're really being cursed. Because when something happened, that means we're dear enough to the Lord where we're getting sobered up quite quickly. And we stop. But if we make aparads and nothing happens, that means the Lord is so displeased with us, he's just going to let us accumulate more and more and more and more and more and more and more aparads. And we think, you see, it works. I must be right. More and more and more aparads. It's working. I must be right. I must be a paramhamsa. I could say anything. I could do anything. Nothing's happening. But little do we know that the stock of all these aparads are just piling and piling and piling, and because we're displeasing the Lord so much, he just lets it keep piling and piling and piling, and finally, it all comes down on us. It will come down on us. So you see, when the Lord was here personally, he was extremely merciful. Somebody did an aparad, leprosy. Gopal Chakravarti, he got what? Leprosy also? Amoga got cholera. Yes? The same day. They were all getting these the same day. It was really so merciful. Amoga just did some aparad and the same day he got cholera and he was on his deathbed at the last state. And then Lord Chaitanya came and he said, I'm sorry, Lord Chaitanya said, How is it that a Brahmin whose heart is supposed to be pure has allowed such envy? Chant the name of Krishna. And he chanted and he became better. So you see, when the Lord is personally here, the aparads have immediate effect and the cures have immediate effect. Yes? It's like us, you know. We're chanting so many rounds every day, year after year after year. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just looked at a tiger and said, chant Hare Krishna. And he went, Hare Krishna. Immediately, highest perfection. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains there was a a malecha, yavana, washerman, who happened to wash some clothes for Srivas Thakur. And he was just walking down the street. And Lord Chaitanya just saw him. And because he washed Srivas's clothes, Lord Chaitanya wanted to give him special mercy. He said, chant the names of Hari. And the person immediately attained prema bhakti. So why is it that that doesn't happen to us? You know, we're chanting so many names of Hari. So you see, when the Lord is personally here, he wants to establish a record for all time to come of his appearance. So he gives ecstatic love for Krishna instantly, and he also gives reactions to aparads instantly. But in the general principle, if the Lord is merciful to us, he will give us. He will give us quick reactions to our aparads, so we understand. But if he's really displeased with us, he'll just let us go on and on and on and on and just accumulate more and more and more. And with every aparad, there's going to be more suffering. So either in ourselves or in others, when we see people continuously performing offenses, this is really sad. Yes, Gopal Chapala, he got leprosy the next day. Not just like beginning stages. Immediately, his nose and his fingers fell off. That was mercy. But it was all for his purification. But still, he had to use his own free will to learn his lesson. Because no karmic reaction, not even any intervention of Krishna can cure us unless we by our own free will make the choice to humble ourselves and take shelter. That's the goal, the purpose of life. Trinadapi sunichina turor iba sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like the grass, and tolerant and forgiving like tree. To offer all respect to others and not to demand it for ourselves. That consciousness pleases Krishna. And Krishna, who's non-different than his name, reveals himself. And we actually taste Krishna in his name when we have this character. So Gopal Chapala, who became Devakinandan Das, he's writing these beautiful songs that we're reading and singing even 500 years later, where he's simply offering his love, his obeisances, his eagerness to serve to every devotee possible. Not only is he playing it safe, but he's expressing what's within. because he understands how dear every devotee is to Krishna. And that's the way we love Krishna. And ultimately, every living being is a devotee of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada came to America and they said, "Why have you come here?" Srila Prabhupada said, "I've just come to remind you of what you have forgotten. The treasure of Krishna prema, of love for God that's within your heart. You're trying to find happiness through so many endeavors. But selfless, unconditional, loving service to Krishna is the only happiness of the soul. I've come to remind you." Chant and be happy. Today we have my dear god brother Yadubar Prabhu with us. He traveled so many places in India and the world with our beloved Gurudev Srila Prabhupada. He was a filmmaker. And Srila Prabhupada didn't tell him, well, he had a girlfriend too. Prabhupada didn't say, "Reject your girlfriend and reject your filmmaker." He said, "If you want, you marry her and then you make films for Krishna." And by Krishna's grace, in November of 1971 in Vrindavan, I was witness to his marriage. I think it was the second marriage I've ever been in my life. When I was a little boy, I saw my Aunt Millie get married. When I was about 4 or 5 years old or something. And then it didn't interest me, so. I never ever went to another marriage. But then I was in Vrindavan and I went, and Prabhupada he gave lecture for your marriage, yes? Prabhupada was sitting there on his Vyasa-san. And there was a marriage, so I was thinking, any excuse to be with Srila Prabhupada. And they got married, and it was Prabhupada was so pleased, giving such blessings in the holy land of Vrindavan. And then he made a beautiful documentary called Vrindavan Land of Krishna, which was played in every temple of Srila Prabhupada, probably hundreds and hundreds of times in each temple, to give everyone a glimpse of Vrindavan. And he's done so much as well. We're so honored that you are here, Yadubar Prabhu. Yadubar Prabhu doesn't have any envy. He's everyone's well-wisher. We have so much to learn from your example. So with this simple and humble introduction, we would like you to speak some words to me.
Maharaj, after your classes, I was very satisfied, and I think everyone else is very satisfied, to meditate on the points and not hear further. Can't I just sing or something?
After you speak something.
same feeling hearing Maharaj speak recently in Vrindavan on our dear Yamuna Devi. If you haven't heard that talk, please, as soon as possible, hear that. Such a beautiful offering, and really encapsulating Yamuna Devi's qualities and her devotion. And as far as today's lecture, such a perfect understanding of our suffering. Actually, it was a perfect lecture for me these days, going through some recuperation. And as Maharaj was discussing the different pastimes of the Lord 500 years ago, I kept thinking of today also that there are devotees, great devotees of the Lord, who are preaching, carrying out Prabhupada's instruction and desires. And there are those who are trying to undermine those efforts. So in that sense, things haven't changed from hundreds of years ago and today. Human nature is the same. There are the conditioned souls and there are the liberated souls. So that, as Maharaj said, that causes us great pain to see that. But somehow or other it's going on. And we were very blessed in our family to have Maharaj's association. He somehow or other appeared at very significant times in our life. Our second daughter, Hari Priya, was just initiated by Maharaj. So fortunate. And she was actually named by him before she was born. One day before she was born, Maharaj very kindly came to our ashram in Jagannath Puri, and I had asked him to lead a kirtan because she was overdue. So if he would kindly lead a kirtan to attract her to come out. So he did that.
Swamis are called upon for so many so many services.
Yes, we had to. Maharaj got on the back of my motorbike and I drove him to our our house. So that night he led a beautiful kirtan. And after the kirtan he said, "So what is the name you have chosen?" I said, "Hari Das." I thought it was going to be a boy. And so he said, "If it's a girl," I said, "I have no name." So immediately he said, "Hari Priya." And she was born the next day. So we are so happy to have two daughters initiated by Maharaj, Rasamrita Devi and Hari Priya. And we're so proud of Hari Priya because she was telling me her mood during the initiation. She was very fixed. She looked very, you know, grounded during the initiation. She was saying that I could only see Maharaj and the devotees and feel the presence of the Holy Dham. So we're very, very honored and joyful at that wonderful event, which was in between the glorification of Yamuna Devi. And to all of us, that is a further glorification of her wonderful qualities and her devotion. She was our next-door neighbor for more than 10 years. And we thought there would be no better place for us and our daughters to be in that situation next to Yamuna Devi, because she had taught our daughters and her friends, she had four friends in the valley, everything she knew, all her devotional arts, her deity worship, cooking, her vast knowledge of Shastra, and her devotion. And she really instilled that in these girls. So that culmination of her, that actually beginning of her spiritual life through taking Diksha, was a further glorification of Yamuna Devi, who raised all those girls spiritually. So we're also very happy to be back in Chaupati Temple. And such a wonderful atmosphere, wonderful devotees. You have a wonderful spiritual master and guide. So actually you have everything. And you're most fortunate. Prabhupada looked at us in Denver, Colorado in 1975. He looked at us and he said, "You are all very fortunate." And then he said, "Don't become unfortunate by leaving the association of devotees. But stay in the association and try to make further advancement in Krishna consciousness, even though it may be very, very difficult at times." We were speaking with Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta, 1972. We had been living in the temple. Very, very difficult circumstances. And we asked Srila Prabhupada if we could live outside. And during those days, there were no grihasthas living outside in India. There wasn't such a thing. So Prabhupada looked at us and he said, then he looked outside in the streets of Calcutta. He said, "Don't you think it's better to live inside here?" And we had to admit, yes, it is better. Who knows what would have happened to us on the outside. Practically no association in those days. So you have everything, and please stay in the association of devotees, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy.